87. The Other Side. Clockwise, this dream. 18th century marble, winding. Worn stone, unevenly waxy. Tones of smoker's phlegm caught in its depths. Profiles of each step set with careful segments of something lifeless as plaster, patching old accidents. Like the scribed, transected, stapled sections of a beloved limb, returned from voyaging. Surgery, disaster, a climb up stairs taller still than these. Westernmost, the spiral. Above the lobby, the stripes of Robert's shirt, the Turk's head atop the stapler. Above the subtly rude equine monkey business in the desk's carved thicket, she climbs. To this floor unvisited, unknown, carpet flowered, faded, antediluvian, beneath incandescent bulbs, an archaic controlled combustion of filaments. Walls hung with madly varied landscapes, unpeopled, each haunted, however dimly, by the spectral finger of the Burj Khalifa. And at the far end of a vast, perhaps endless room, in a pool of warm light, a figure, seated, in a suit of Klein blue, as it turns, pale fur, muzzle rouged, the wooden painted teeth. She wakes beside Gareth's slow breathing, in their darkened room, the sheets against her skin. Thanks. My wife Deborah and daughter Claire were on-site first readers and sensitive critics as ever. Susan Allison, to whom this book is dedicated, and who has been my editor in one sense or another since the start of my career, of course was excellent with this one, as indeed was Martha Millard, my literary agent since I first required one. Jack Womack and Paul McCauley read pages almost daily, with Paul keeping very particular track of London. Louis Lapron was enlisted as Milgram arrived in Paris, to similar ends. Cory Doctorow provided slight with Milgram's problematic Neo. Johann Kugelberg very kindly put me up in the club on which Cabinet is loosely based, and which is very nearly as peculiar. Sean Crawford kept Winnie honest. Larry Lund gave me the order flow when asked for a MacGuffin of ultimate scale. I don't know anyone else who could have. Clive Wilson very kindly offered boots-on-the-ground Melbourne geography and vegan bacon. Douglas Coupland introduced me to the concept of the Vegas Cube by showing me, years ago, the one he'd built to write in. Bruce Sterling, having been emailed exactly the wrong question about CCTV, graciously extruded the concept of the ugly t-shirt in one of his characteristic, demonically focused bursts of seemingly effortless imagination. Michaela Sockenbacher and Errolson Hugh introduced me to the architecture of a secret brand and the passion behind it. Everything I know about being a fashion model in the 21st century I learned from Jenna Sauer's wonderful Jezebel memoir, I Am the Anonymous Model. Meredith's modeling career is based on it, available with a quick Google. Likewise available is Mark Gardner's very informative Artful Dodgers from the February 2009 issue of Motorcyclist, where I learned everything I know about London motorcycle couriers. Meredith's line of shoes was modeled after the brand Callus, launched by Thomas Fenning and Tomoaki Kobayashi in 2003, and which I gather met a somewhat similar fate. Thank you all. Vancouver, June 2010. End of Zero History by William Gibson. WILLIAMGIBSON. Read by Mike Stefanelli in the studios of the American Printing House for the Blind, Louisville, Kentucky, for the Library of Congress, March 2011, published by G.P. Putnam's Sons, Penguin Group, USA, Incorporated, 375 Hudson Street, New York, New York, 10014, www.penguin.com. Further reproduction or distribution in other than a specialized format is prohibited.
End of book.